So I put on this shirt because I like the color purple. It is, you know, it's an Easter purple. So I
Well,
thought,
of course.
I would get this. But I
Could be an
forgot.
egg.
Apparently, this is an old shirt because I'm gonna tell you about one thing about this shirt. I'm sorry for people who are hearing on podcasts. If you look at this shirt, the thing that you can't unlook, see if I point it out, is there's a huge pocket on this shirt. Just huge. I realize now this is probably one of my dad's shirts where he had where you put the pocket protector in. You actually have the thing.
I see. I was going to ask you, like, what you going to put in there, man? What are you
I don't
toting around in
know.
there?
A full iPad, I think, pretty much. Yeah. So this is probably a 1960 shirt, probably.
It's vintage.
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 Vintage. It's come back in style.
People charge a lot of money for that kind of thing.
Yeah, probably like thousands of dollars.
So, what'd you do for Easter? What's going on?
Well, the one thing I did that I didn't think would be possible is I got my father-in-law and my mother together in one place. They had dinner together. Yes. And we didn't cook.
All of
And how
that's
did we do
impressive,
that?
all
We went
around.
to a restaurant and had a pre-made Easter meal. I had to order it 24 hours ahead of time. I will not give them a plug because they need to come on and buy the ads for us. But, it's probably one you know of.
Cool,
Maybe
cool.
a rocking chair in the ad. I'm not, that's all I'm going to say.
Possibly one on the front
But
porch, I bet.
probably one
Yep,
on the
yep,
front
yep.
porch. But, we did four dinners and picked them up, brought them in. Sat them in front of each other. They had their own to-go containers if they wanted them. It came with a pecan pie. That was nice.
Can't
My
go wrong
dad
with
would have
that.
ate two of them if he had been given to him. And it was pretty nice. So my wife and I and my father-in-law and my mother, we all got together. I took some pictures of it. It was really nice. My sister-in-law is out of country, but yeah, we were together and that we hadn't done that in a while.
That's great.
So that was really nice. I set up the room to be a little, like almost like a restaurant almost. And you sat down and we all together and played a little jazz.
Man, that's awesome. I
So it was
bet
kind of
they
nice.
really dug it too, didn't they?
They
They enjoy
did.
themselves?
They did. And he
Good.
spent a good
That's
time with us.
fantastic.
So, she didn't have to
Well,
go nowhere.
that's awesome.
So that was nice.
Nothing
That's what
wrong
I
with
did.
it.
What'd you do?
I think in short, I kind of overdid it
Okay.
physically over the weekend. So, we had spent some time with our grandkids and our kids earlier in the week. So we didn't really do anything on the day of Easter with the family, but we had done some stuff earlier this week and kind of we'd gone to some an egg hunt with our youngest granddaughter, and that was very
That's nice.
cool and had a great time. But on Saturday, I went up and helped my dad get started with his garden. And this he does a massive garden. He's got, gosh, I don't even know how probably 100 yards long, close to it, maybe
Wow.
50 yards wide. He has a little tractor that he tills it up with and all this kind of stuff. And he likes to put an electric fence around it because he's worried about the deer coming in and messing with his crops.
Okay.
So I helped him pull up a bunch of fence posts and put back down a bunch of fence posts. And it was like a CrossFit workout. If I got to tell you, I was pretty beat.
Barry, you do chores like that for your father that I think, contractors charge thousands of dollars for. Because I'm doing stuff like changing a light bulb and moving the chair from here to there. You're pulling up fence posts. Like, wow.
While I
Put on
can
a
do it,
cowboy hat and say
I
you're
may as well.
1921. Yeah.
That's right. And then, and I was good actually on Saturday. I felt pretty good. But then Kate and I did a bunch of yard work on Sunday afternoon. And by the time I got through doing some of that, I was beat. It was
I
completely
bet you
beat.
were. You probably worked out better than I did.
Super sore, but it was a great weekend. We got a lot done and just enjoyed it all around. So I'm glad you
Yeah,
guys did too.
that's nice. This is a, like I said, this is a sweet spot for this area. Despite the pollen, it's still pretty nice outside. I think we had a high in Orangeburg at 85, which is mild. Usually, in Orangeburg, it's much higher than that. So, yeah, so it was nice. We had a really
Well,
good time.
that's good. So, looking at our agenda today, looks like you got some stuff on here about virtual medical appointments. Have you done some of those?
Yeah, so if y'all been following the show, my mom has had her issues, and UTI is one of them, and we might have to do a whole podcast on just UTIs, urinary tract infections, if you haven't heard that term before. And she had a follow-up. The follow-up was virtual. And I haven't done a whole lot of follow-ups with her that are virtual. Most of hers are in person. But this was kind of cool. And it made me think about, you know, things that you should think about when you are pulling your loved one into that kind of situation, especially when you're also trying to be a part of it. And yes, these new virtual calls make accommodations for sons and families to be a part of the call. And there was, it was actually well done. It's well set up. Again, I'm not going to give anybody a free plug yet, but I know a lot of hospitals are doing this now. And it was all facilitated by a text message. You clicked on a link. You could, when you got in, there was the ability for you to add other people to it. So you could add your son, your daughter, your caregiver, that kind of thing to the list. And it worked really well, about 20 minutes. So I came up with a list of things to do. They're kind of divided into seven areas: preparation, technology, environment, ease of use, during a visit, post appointment, and then privacy and comfort. I just kind of read some things and maybe we talk about them a little bit. How about that?
I think that sounds like a great idea, in fact.
So, and I've got a chart as always, and I'll put it into the show notes later, or all we right. will. Yep. So the first category is preparation. Very important. A couple things on there. Schedule appointment, comfortable time of the day. Don't do it at the end of the day. I did it early in the morning because that was where it made the most sense for my caregiver. But you know, you have to think about that. So if you do it at lunch or you do it at night where people have trouble getting to back and forth to places, you need to think about it when you do it. I did mine, you know, kind of mid-morning when she was up and ready to go. Mm-hmm. Make a list of symptoms and questions and medications in advance so that you don't have to fumble when they ask you what medications you're on, okay. What symptoms does she have. So have a talk through that a little bit. Maybe even have a list. You write down some things so you can be prepped for that. And that's a good advice because that question's going to come up.
Tech question, do they have something like a chat function where you can like paste all that in if you already had it on the computer or something?
They did. We didn't use it.
Yeah.
So it was mostly talking because she wanted to hear from mom.
Okay.
But yeah, gotcha. We could have probably have done that. That would have been nice.
Cool.
The technology setup is important. So the way these are set up is that you can do these on your phone. If you want to do it on a computer, then you need to prep. Mm-hmm. They also send you an email where you can actually see what the appointment is and do it on email. But that would, for me, it would have taken more steps. So I say use the phone because it's easy. Click on it.
Cool.
You can show her, you can show him, you know, that. And my caregiver was there with her and I wasn't. So I got on my iPad and got on, and the caregiver used her phone and got on, and I made sure she had the link so she could get in.
Nice.
So have that conversation. This particular one, I actually wanted to send you the link 30 minutes beforehand. And I think they did that so that you won't lose the link.
Yeah,
which kind
that's
of
wise.
Expected.
That's wise.
I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
So what I would also say is make sure what you do is know the routine of that. So this particular one, that's what they way they set it up so that it would be just 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then, you know the routine so you know what to do. And then, or use a device that has a big screen in case your loved one wants to see more of the picture, wants to be a part of it. So think about your setup as you go into that.
Gotcha. All right. Makes sense.
Cool. So the next step's environment. You know, make sure you're in a quiet place where the phone won't ring, well lit. And I don't mean, and always make sure the light doesn't come from your back because that makes you look like a silhouette. You want the light to hit your face. So we know that from podcasting. My light's right here, actually. So we can make sure that you're well lit and you can be seen. It is always good to think about ease of use. So my caregiver was with my mom. If she had been by herself, I would have probably rethought the way I did things. So, mm-hmm. But what we decided to do is caregiver handled all the tech stuff, and she just sat there and looked at the video screen. And that could work. So, but think about that as you go through that setup. During the visit, when you join a call, your senior's comfortable with it, take notes, communicate clearly, make sure you explain things that maybe they're saying, your loved one's saying that your doctor may not know, because it's usually a doctor who's not familiar with them. And, you know, and also, but do this, let them talk, because I think it's important, you know, and take notes when you're doing that visit to make sure you communicate things, especially if you got complicated things, make sure you write them down to talk with that person later. Post appointment, review what you've written down, talk about those instructions with your caregiver and your loved one when it makes sense. Set up reminders to follow up when you can. And, you know, make sure you do the medication that they're asking about. So for my mom in particular, we were making sure that we knew when the antibiotics would stop. So make sure you know those dates so you go through. And then remember, make them private. Make sure their privacy is held intact and make sure they're comfortable. So you make explain to them what's going on. Make sure they know who's present. Respect their preferences. So if they tell you they don't want to be a part of this call, it's not a good idea to do this. Then do something else.
Sure.
And then, you know, share information and talk to your community and make sure they all know and share things. So I thought these were really cool steps and I made a nice graphic. Well, I didn't, but some mechanism that I won't go unnamed did. And, you know, it's really cool to be prepped for this kind of stuff. So that went pretty well.
That's very cool. I was going to ask you too, do a lot of these apps that you do this through, do they offer the option of recording the call for you and giving you a recording later?
It didn't have a recording feature as part of it, which was, I thought, pretty interesting, but maybe that was thought through as something as a privacy thing that they weren't going to do.
Fair well so, might be. They don't feel like they can control it if they, you know, if they offer it, they're worried that it might get out. That makes a lot of sense. But I guess if you had another device, there's no reason you couldn't record it on your end if you had to. But as long as you
could have. You and I have talked about what tools are available on the phone to do all that stuff. So I could have done that with my phone probably and had a summary of it. So I didn't think to do that, but that's something you should think about is, you know, how do you record all of this stuff? And, you know, there's so many good tools out there now. Some of them built into things like iPhone and whatnot that work really well.
Well, it makes a lot of sense. Great, man. Well, that sounds like it was a pretty successful foray into the technology of virtual appointments.
Yeah, I was really impressed by the technology. I remember virtual appointments of 5 years ago when the pandemic first started and they were kind of clunky. This wasn't that clunky. This was actually kind of well done.
They've had a little while to get them dialed in, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, it's becoming mainstream right now, you know.
Yeah.
Just like having a phone call or, you know, doing some of the things we take for granted, like driving a car. You know, 100 years ago, those things were new and complicated. And so it looks like we're getting to that point now with video calls and the way we do things.
Now, we don't really think too much about it, that's for sure.
No, we don't.
So, cool. Well, I think the next thing I wanted to talk to folks about is about assisted living. I've had a couple of occasions in the last couple of weeks where I've talked to people who are kind of at that point where they're wondering if they can take care of their loved ones, you know, even remotely sometimes. And they're thinking, is it time to talk about assisted living? And I know that's a really hard conversation for a lot of people to do. And I thought, you know, it might be a good idea for us to talk about it and just kind of bring it out in the open and say, you know, how do you go about doing that sort of thing? So, you know, it's one of those questions where the answer hits hard, but it's really important. There's no big single moment where a neon signs flashing at you said it's time for assisted living, but there are some patterns and some warning signs.
A friend of mine, actually a common friend of ours, talked to me about this when I'm actually at a beginning point of this with my loved ones too. And we put my father-in-law's in and my mother-in-law probably is headed that way. And she basically said to me, you know, you're the person who knows the situation best. Trust that. And it's not, there are a lot of people who will give you advice if you ask for it. And that's what it is, advice that you can take or leave, including us.
Yeah.
Because I think in the end, you understanding your situation is probably the best way to go about that. So don't let the guilt overrun you. Don't let the regret hit you. Sometimes this is the best thing to do and sometimes it's not.
And don't let the fear of how awkward the conversation is or is going to be stop you, because, you know, we all know this. It's an emotional thing. And honestly, if you delay that, if you avoid that emotional conversation, at some point in time, you might get to the point where you've avoided it so long that now it's an emergency and you have to do it in a hurry. Just kind of.
And there is never a time when that emergency situation is better than what you could have done in the past. There's never a time.
That is right. That's right. Big time. So again, like you, I made a list and thought we might walk through those things.
Sure.
So number one, safety is becoming a daily concern. So are they having frequent falls or almost falling? Are they forgetting that the stove's on or forgetting that the doors are unlocked? Getting lost sometimes, even in familiar places?
Are they wandering?
Are they wandering? Yeah, exactly. Are mail and bills piling up and going unpaid? You know, that's an early sign of early cognitive decline. Really, though, on your side, if you're starting to worry every day that something might go wrong, that's kind of a red flag right there. So to think about that. Number two, personal care. Is personal care slipping? Are you noticing situations where they might be wearing the same clothes for days? Poor hygiene or maybe strong body odor. They're not brushing their teeth. Their hair, not washing their hair. Maybe their nails are getting super long. These unexplained bruises or injuries that might show up. It could be that they've fallen. Those could be
symptoms of falling. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It could be falling or confusion, you know, that they may not even remember doing it for that matter. So, you know, think about, you know, we've talked about ADLs before, you know, activities of daily living. If they can't handle two or more of those things reliably, it's probably time to start thinking yeah. about it and having a conversation.
By the way, we have something in past episodes that goes through what those daily activities of living are. So go back and yeah. look at our notes.
There's some pretty strong ones there to pay attention to. And what about, you know, what about meals? What about eating? Are they eating right? So do you see, you know, weight loss or expired food piling up in the fridge? Are they not paying attention to that sort of thing? Do you see the indication they're skipping meals or maybe they forgot that they ate? Burn pans, or you hear reports of the smoke detector going off at their place, a reliance on convenient foods that they've never used before. This is an interesting one because, you know, it's that they may be forgetting how to cook properly, and it's easy enough to just go grab these things just to keep going. So yeah, paying attention to the meals and nutrition situation. Luckily, none of my loved ones right now are having a problem with this, but medication mismanagement. So can they still handle what they're supposed to take every day and when? And even if, you know, like my dad has one of those pill minders for, you know, 2 weeks at a time that he fills up and he's able to take all those and fill them up properly. He's all good. But at some point in time, even that might not be capable for some folks. So, you know, pay attention. And along those lines, resistance to reminders or help. You know, I've got this. I can do this. Why are you asking me these things? Maybe there's something behind that hostility when you ask questions like that. So stuff to pay attention to.
Yeah. You know, there are things like that. There are symptoms of some diseases. Dementia is a broad band of things like that. So some types of dementia come with paranoia, come with things that make people push back. We come with aggressive behavior. So talk to your primary care about what that is.
Sure. And you know, it's interesting too, like that medication mismanagement, you know, it can be a matter of life or death.
Yes.
If you don't get that right, it can also cause other problems. Like I know of at least one person who they may not have been managing their medication properly, which caused blood pressure drops, which caused instability, which caused lightheadedness, which caused a fall. So the fall precipitated an emergency situation to get that person into an assisted living situation. And it could have been avoided. Gosh, let's see, isolation and mood changes. That's a yeah. whole other thing too. When they start wanting to isolate themselves from seeing their friends or engaging in hobbies, withdrawal from social contact, even phone calls. When you start
not
to see signs
to church,
of depression,
not going to church. Parties.
Yeah.
You know, not celebrating life, things. So they go down and you have to pay attention. It's not necessarily because they changed their mind. Maybe there's something affecting them. And I want to put something in here too, because I did talk about UTIs that are involved in that. And with my mom and several of my family members, UTIs can affect your behavior, which is not something you normally put with those kinds of things. So not only can you get the kinds of, you know, it's an infection that can cause problems, but you can also see changes in behavior that might make some of the things we're just talking about. So
yeah,
if you see sudden things like that, sometimes you have to be aware of that and make the right move by like taking your loved one to the ER and having it treated.
For sure. So, body chemistry is a very fine balance. And when yes. it gets out of whack, all kinds of things can go. And it's not just physical, but mental as well. So yeah, gosh. So along those lines, you know, talking about, you know, behaviors, there's cognitive changes that can happen too. So like memory lapses beyond normal aging, confusion about time, place, or familiar people, repeating themselves often in a single conversation. I have actually seen this happen. you know, not with the folks that I speak about here, but with some other folks, I've seen this where, you know, they'd mention the same thing four times in the same conversation within, you know, 10 minutes, or ask the same question during those times. You know, that's a big red flag right there. And trouble following basic instructions. This isn't a little forgetful. It's kind of the beginning of something a little bit deeper and something to pay attention to.
And you have to be really careful. Oh, go ahead. You have to be really careful with that, because the other thing I saw in it that may be added to your list is that they usually make lists, and then they lose lists, and then they make more lists. There's lots of piling going on, and that can be also be part of some of the things out there. And these are signs to get you to look at it and decide, what's the real thing to do here? You know, if you're in a place where you got a caretaker that's there most of the time, then maybe you don't need a facility. But if you don't, and these signs come up, then you really need to start thinking about, well, what's in the best interest of that person? And
yeah,
again, making that decision before there's an emergency is always better.
Yep. What's in the best interest of them, and what's in the best interest for you as the caregiver? Because number 7 in this list is caregiver burnout. So if you or your siblings, if you have them, are overwhelmed, you're exhausted, or you're fighting, if you're spending more time managing their needs than your own life, and if you're anxious every time the phone rings, that's a huge sign. Sometimes the parents' needs haven't changed, but, you know, the family's ability to meet them has, and that really matters. And a lot of people feel guilty about that. You shouldn't feel guilty about that. I'm a firm believer in the whole airline thing. You got to put your mask on first before you can help anyone else. Absolutely. If you don't take care of you, you can't help them. So,
and their dependency on you means you have to take better care of yourself.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Yep. You start thinking about things in that way a lot more. It kind of makes me even more organized too, because I have to think about, what if something actually happened to me before it happened to them? Who else would pick up the reins and go with this? And what I want to make sure I'm not leaving them a mess where I were to get hit by a truck or something. So, you know, it's something to think about.
I have plenty of things in my immediate family and my extended family where the youngest of the siblings is the one who went first. Mm-hmm. And so you can't always count that fate will take you in order.
Right.
And so you need to prep and to think about what would happen if you weren't around, if your younger sibling wasn't around. And that has actually happened to me. I didn't think I'd be alone doing some of this stuff. And I am. I have my wife and other people. But, you know, at the end, it's the immediate children that seem to come to the rescue in most of these cases. And, you know, I see the difference when my wife and her sister do the things they do for her dad. And, you know, they try to help me, but it is me. I'm the guy who's now left. And there's a difference. There's a real difference.
You feel ultimately responsible. And you are. You know, you are. And that's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of weight.
A lot of pressure. A lot of weight. And that means you got, you know, the anxiety of that weight can change your health status. So, yeah, I totally agree. Burnout is a real thing.
Yep. And you got to be constantly vigilant about it and listen to yourself and listen to the pros out there about how to kind of help mitigate that. I think that's all you can do. And, you know, all of that is before we even get to the thing about trying to figure out whether or not to do assisted living is one thing from all these things we talked about. But there's also the financial piece of it. And that's just not easy. It's just not easy. If you're lucky, you plan for it. You know, a couple of my relatives, they were lucky enough and successful enough to have bought long-term care insurance early on in their life, and it's come along to help them, and that's been great. And there are others who haven't. It's a lot. So let's want to talk about that a little bit and kind of break it down.
This is actually so well-timed, Barry, because you know, some of these things, you know, having just done this with my father-in-law and now thinking about it with my mom. There's a lot of things fresh in my head. As a matter of fact, as recently as today, I've done some work on it. So this is right on time.
So, okay. So let's go here a little bit. So let's talk about the average cost breakdown for assisted living. According to my sources, assisted living runs, the average is about $4,500 a month across the country, across the U.S. You may be different if you're in another country listening to us, and I know several of you are out there, and we appreciate the international listenership. But in the U.S., it's about $4,500 per month on average. And it can range, in some places it's not that expensive, can range from about $2,500 up to $8,000. It depends on where you are and what your state and care needs are, really. Free care units are usually about $1,000 above whatever the standard is, wherever you're at. And, you know, it's roughly around that a difference. And there's extra charges for medication maintenance, incontinence care, or other kinds of care that are related to those ADLs that we talked about earlier. You know, if you can't do several of those, you need help with those. Sometimes that incurs bigger costs when it comes right down to it. So, you know, that sounds scary, but if you really kind of think about it and do the math, it gets less scary. You may not answer it, but the thing to do is don't be afraid to do the math about this stuff. So compare what those numbers look like to what a person's current living costs are. So think yes. about, do they have a mortgage? Do they're paying rent? What do they pay for food every month? Utilities, medications, what they're paying for current caregiving? Is it somebody who's coming in and what that's costing? Transportation, if you're having in-home care, is that already being paid for? You know, if you start thinking about if you have someone who comes in who maybe makes $25 an hour, they're there for 4 hours a day. Once you add that up, there's not a big leap between that and some of the full-time assisted living things where those are taken care of.
I was surprised how fast that cost can come to those kinds of estimates. That really surprised me on how much it is. And you have to think, you know, do you need that cable bill? Do you need that other thing? If they go into the service, what can you reduce? So look for those kind of options too.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and you know, some people think about, you know, once that person goes into assisted living, the chances are is they're not going to come back home at that point. So do they have real estate? Is that paid for? Is that something that could be sold, the money taken to go for paying for assisted living if you need it for as long as they're going to need it? You know, you could do some rough math there. You can get some estimates about generally how long someone's going to live and do at least a back of the napkin, but preferably a spreadsheet version of how is this going to work out? I know that it sounds, what's the word I'm looking for? Very cut and dried. It sounds unemotional and it's not. Don't worry about that. You know, you've done the emotion part already, just even thinking about this. Don't feel like you're being, I don't know, a robot because you're adding up the numbers on this stuff. Just work with it and take your time and go for it. So let's think about this. So if you've got the money, that's fantastic. If real estate's a possibility, maybe that's helpful. But beyond that, who can help pay for it? So does your loved one have Social Security or a pension income, any kind of long-term care insurance? If they have it, take a look at the policy. Ask. They may have it and you may not know it. That's a thing there. A lot of folks have that sort of thing.
As a tip, make sure you can ask professionals who can check on your loved one's status too. So I've been given some information that lets me know how to check on it for some, so that if you can't get it from them, there are ways for you to find out.
There's the Veterans Administration aid, and there's something called the attendance benefit for veterans and spouses. There's Medicaid, but that's only in some cases, and it varies by state and facility type. So Medicaid's on that list, but your mileage may vary. Like we said about selling the home or tapping home equity or downsizing, that stuff's to think about. Or, you know, and beyond that, just family members pooling funds. If there's a possibility of that, you know, that's a tough conversation too. And you know, you have to just have that conversation tactfully and see what the options are. But really, there's a lot of things that go into the financial pieces of this, but there's nothing wrong with having those conversations. It may work out, it may not, but have those things. But also, don't try to figure it all out by yourself. Go talk to a pro. You know, there are people at assisted living facilities who have done this. This is not their first rodeo and you're not their first patient. So they know the patterns, they know the tricks, they know the tips. Reach out to them. And same thing with attorneys. It's worth a few hundred dollars to go sit with an attorney who knows this in and out, who can give you the give you the game plan or help you develop your own game plan. So financial advisors also in that same category. So there's a lot of folks who can help you. Don't hesitate to reach out and get their help.
And
so
if you don't have any of those resources, you might have a council on the aging in your area who can give you some referrals to that kind of thing. CPAs know about this. So have that conversation if you can, especially someone who's doing their taxes and knows their setup. So they may have seen other people in the way they set it up. So, you know, Barry, you're absolutely right. You got to reach out. This is not something you take on by yourself cold. There are plenty of resources out there, and you got to ask.
And really comes down to it. You don't need $1 million to plan for assisted living. What you need is a clear picture of what's coming and a few uncomfortable conversations now instead of chaos later. Yeah. All right. Well, that's most of my list, but I did tease earlier and said that I had a Wi-Fi thing that I wanted to talk about. We were having some technical difficulties earlier, and the Wi-Fi was bouncing up and down for Bobby's setup, and it reminded me that I may have mentioned on the podcast a while back that I've been having trouble with one of my phones. I've got an iPhone 16 Pro, and the gist of it, this problem is so strange. It's the call quality over the regular phone calls is horrendous. And it's even worse when I'm on speakerphone. And I have noticed lately that it seems to be something to do with my house. If I'm outside the house, it's okay. It's fine. If sometimes it can be bad in my house and I can walk outside and it gets better. And this is a brand new phone. And I've been researching this. I've been trying to figure out what's going on. And I'm on to something now, I think, that's going to fix this problem. So
okay, you got me all ears. How did you figure this out?
All right. Well, I'm going to tell you how I figured it out. And again, I'm in test mode right now to see if it actually is the problem. But it seems to be pointing in this direction. But of course, you know me. I talked to ChatGPT and had a deep conversation with ChatGPT about this, explained the whole situation. And it came back to me and says, oh yeah, I know what's going on. I'm like, well, okay, what? It said it's you're ping-ponging. I'm like, okay, what's that mean? So turns out I have a very strong cell signal because there's a cell tower across the road from my house. I have pretty good Wi-Fi, right? So I've got both of those. But you know, by default, I usually turn on when I have a cell phone, my iPhone, I turn on Wi-Fi calling. What, if you guys out there who don't know what that means that your phone will pay attention to the cell signal. And when it doesn't see a good one, it sees a particularly bad one. If there's Wi-Fi available, it will route your phone calls over the Wi-Fi out to the internet to get to it. That's really handy if you're in a cell dead zone somewhere and you can disconnect to it. And that's great. And it's one of those things I've done forever whenever I've had iPhones. Well, what ChatGPT surmises, and I'm apt to believe our AI overlord there, is that the newer iPhones have gotten software upgrades to manage that stuff a little bit more. I'm not going to say manage it better, but manage it different. So apparently what's happening is because I'm in my house with a great cell signal and a great Wi-Fi signal, it can't decide which one to talk to and sometimes bounces back and forth between the two. And it does it so fast that you don't even notice it because the newer phones are built to like really pay attention to that and go for the best signal every time. So if the signals are a little wavery, then it switches back. So apparently the other thing too is I have AT&T. I'm going to go ahead and say their name. Say the name that shouldn't be said, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. AT&T 5G internet in my house. So it actually, my internet actually goes over the same cell signals that my phone calls do. It's just one of those things. And it gets great speed. I mean, I'll have hundreds of megabytes down and, you know, tens of megabytes up, and it's perfect for what I do. It works really well when we're doing even recording in Riverside. But what I found out is those are notorious for having a lot of what's called jitter. And I'm not going to explain what jitter means, but I think it has to do with the stability of the connection. When you're streaming, you don't see any problem with it. When you're talking over a protocol like Zoom or like FaceTime or things like that, they're made to deal with unstable connections, and it works out great. Phone calls are not, and they will wig out over an unstable connection. So the combination of that unstable connection and and the two powerful signals and the phone bouncing back and forth between the two seems to be causing my problem. So the answer is to turn off Wi-Fi calling when I'm at home. And so far today, I have noticed that the call quality is better. So I don't know. We might have this solved. We'll see. So if anybody else is having that trouble with a new phone, that might have something to do with it. Your mileage may vary, but I'll report back next week about how well that fix is going. I'm hoping I've got it whipped because it's been bothering me for a while.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
All right. Interesting days.
Yeah, you know.